This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum.
All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers in Islam, I encourage myself and you to fear no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah azza wa jalla, Lord, states in the Holy Quran, all those who believe, fear Allah the way he should be feared, and do not die unless you're in the state of Islam. My brothers in Islam, from the beginning of the time of the da'wah till our time, till the day of judgment, it's a time that encompasses and involves a lot of hardships, a lot of tests, a lot of trials, tribulations, predicaments, and many challenges. And that's something that's part of the da'wah, part and parcel of the da'wah. You cannot disconnect the da'wah from hardships. You cannot disconnect the da'wah from predicaments and trials. You cannot disconnect the da'wah from tests and tribulations. It all comes in together. Whenever there's haqq, whenever there's the truth, whenever the truth stands up, always remember there will always be a strong challenge against that truth. You can't have the truth flourishing on its own without having any challenges opposing the truth or trying to take down the truth. And that's been from the very beginning of Adam alayhi salam, all along through the prophets and messengers, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the day of judgment. So the da'wah and calling for which is haqq, the truth, it comes with it, as always, challenges. One of the first challenges that Adam alayhi salam had encountered when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in the heavens or put him in the paradise is that Iblis continued to insinuate and whisper in the mind of Adam alayhi salam until they took him out of the paradise. And when Adam alayhi salam came down and he was descended to earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned Adam alayhi salam from Iblis and the progeny of Iblis and the army of Iblis. So Adam alayhi salam was created, and before even his creation, before he even came into existence, he was facing challenges. And we know the story of Iblis la'natullah alayhi. When Adam alayhi salam was just a clay, a hollow clay, he was a hollow clay, Iblis would go around and look into Adam alayhi salam and go from the nose of Adam, come out of his bottom, and then he realized he was empty, and he'll push him. And then every time he pushes him, he makes that noise. Like when you push a vase or a jug, it makes that noise. And then he knew that he was hollow from the inside, he was empty. And he said, هَذَا خَلْقٌ لَا يَتَبَالَكِ. He came to draw himself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew into Adam alayhi salam, and Adam came into existence. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded all the angels in the heavens and all the beings in the heavens, including Iblis, to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, and all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the beings in the heaven, they all prostrated to Adam alayhi salam, except Iblis, who denied to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. And the challenge began ever since then. The challenge began from that time. And then you have all the prophets and messengers. Adam alayhi salam, Nuh, Idris, the rest of the prophets and messengers. Idris came before Nuh, then there was Nuh alayhi salam, and then Ibrahim and the rest of the prophets and messengers, all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, from the first of things of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was struck by when he alayhi salatu wasalam received the first revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. And there were the first revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't know much about this revelation, nor that he knew much about the one that came down with that revelation, and that's Jibril alayhi salam. So the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Khadija, out of her forbearance and wisdom, she took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam to her cousin. And her cousin, his name was Waraqah ibn Nawfal. And Waraqah ibn Nawfal was one of the rare Arab Christians that lived in the Arabian Peninsula or lived in Quraysh during that time. So she took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Waraqah ibn Nawfal. And as I mentioned, there was an Arab, he was Christian, he was old, he was blind. And he sat before Waraqah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sat before Waraqah ibn Nawfal. And then Waraqah told him, tell me, what happened to you? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam related the story to Waraqah ibn Nawfal and told him exactly what happened to him alayhi salatu wasalam, while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in the middle of that cave, in the middle of that mountain, in the middle of the night, contemplating, thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suddenly, an unexpected, someone tells him, iqra, 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 recite, recite, recite. And each time, this being tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, iqra, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, I don't know how to recite, I've never read. I've never gripped a pen, I've never read, I've never been educated. To the end of it, we all know the story. And then he left him with those words, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. And then he left the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrated his story to Waraqah ibn Nawfal. And again, Waraqah was a rare Arab Christian. So he knew and he had some knowledge of the scripture. He had some knowledge of the Injil, the Bible, in which the reality is the Torah, the Injil, the Quran, and the Zabur, they all stem from one source, and that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we believe that the Bible has been distorted. So now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates his story to Waraqah ibn Nawfal. And Waraqah ibn Nawfal is listening to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, paying attention to what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to say. And then when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished, Waraqah ibn Nawfal told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, amazing. How amazing is this? This being that came down to you is exactly the same being that came down to Musa alayhi salam. And what being are we talking about here? We are talking about Jibril alayhi salam. And as I mentioned to you, Waraqah ibn Nawfal was an Arab Christian. So in the Bible, it does mention about Jibril, it does mention about the revelation, it does mention about words of God and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. So Waraqah ibn Nawfal tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amazing. This is the exact same being that came down to Musa alayhi salam. And that being that came to you is not a being for you to be petrified from. Not someone that you want to be scared from. This being is the revelation of Allah azza wa jal. He's the revelation carrier. He's the revelation bearer. He came to you with a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he tells him, our prophecy says that it's time to you for a prophet to emerge. And since that being, that Jibreel, who is the bearer of the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had descended down to you, it seems to me that you are the next prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that will emerge. So he gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that boost. He gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that confidence that you shouldn't be scared, you shouldn't be petrified, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was petrified. Can you imagine just sitting on your own in the middle of the cave, in the middle of the night, minding your own business, unexpectedly, out of nowhere, someone just comes out of nowhere, tells you, iqra, iqra, iqra. Unexpected guest. He doesn't even know where his guest came from. He didn't even expect him. And then he grabs the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 3 times, to the extent that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I felt like I was going to die. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was petrified with the first revelation that was revealed to him by Jibreel alayhi salam, even though the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no knowledge or expectation of the revelation. So now Waraqah ibn Nawfal tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our prophecy says that it's time to find a prophet. And from what you just told me right now, it seems to me that you are the next prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to send to mankind. That's one point. But then, listen to the second point. Listen to the second point. The second point is, he tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam And since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to choose him to be a prophet, I wish, Waraqa bin Nawfal, an old blind man, saying to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I wish I'm a young man, strong, fit young man, that can stand by your side when your people turn against you and oust you out of the city. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shocked. Excuse me, you just told me I'm going to be the next prophet and messenger. And you know, you strike me with this news, you hit me with this news. You just told me I'm going to be a prophet and messenger. And naturally, people need to embrace me if I'm a prophet and a messenger. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shocked. Like, you just told me I'm going to be the next prophet and messenger. Now you hit me with this news that my people are going to turn on me. My people are going to kick me out of the city. They're going to oust me out of the city. Why is that? So Waraqa tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I want you to engrave this in your mind. He tells him, مَا جَاءَ أَحَدٌ بِمِثْلِ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ إِلَّا وَعُودِي. No one had ever come with what he came with. No one had ever came to his people with the thing that you're going to come to your people with. And it is always that people will turn against this person that comes with what you come with. What's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming with? He's coming with the risala, with the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the prophecy. He's coming with Islam. He's coming with the Quran. He's coming with the revelation. And that's exactly what Waraqa mentioned to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since you're going to be coming with this, and since you're going to be advocating and preaching this, then expect your own people to turn against you and for your people to ask you out of the city. For your people to ask you out of the city and get rid of you. That's a very important message from Waraqa to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's also a very important message for us to know that when you stand by the truth and you uphold the truth, you need to expect challenges. You need to expect challenges. Don't think that you're just going to be calling out for the truth, that you're going to be standing up for the truth, that you're going to be upholding the truth and uprising the haq, and you're just going to get away with it just peacefully, smoothly. You're wrong. If you're going to stand up for the haq, you're going to stand up for the truth, expect challenges. Expect confrontations. Expect tests, trials, tribulations, predicaments. Expect people to turn against you. Expect people to defame you. Expect people to say things against you. And that's exactly what happened with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that very first moment that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to get up, Ya ayyuhal mudaththir qum fa'anzir, all the ones that's coming to blankets, get up and warn. Start calling people to Allah and invite people to Allah azza wa jalla. It was the very first moment that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was confronted. It's part of the nature of the call. It's part of the nature of the da'wah. You call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will oppose you. You call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will challenge you. You call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will defame you. You stand up for the haq, the people of the batil, even though they hate each other, and there's a lot of hostility and animosity amongst each other, they'll turn against you united. They'll unite against you. And that's exactly what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned 1,400 years ago, تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمُ كَمَا تَدَاعَ أَكَلَةُ عَلَىٰ قَصْعَتِهَا. That people will unite against you and attack you. A group of men will sit down together and eat from one platter. And that's the reality, that's the nature of the cause. You stand up for the haq, you go for which is truth, you fight for the truth, people will turn against you. And people will defame you, people will turn things, people will twist things, people will spin things. And this is exactly what the Ummah, the Muslim Ummah, is encountering. This is what we are experiencing. We are experiencing that. When the entire world just unites against Islam and Muslims, to defame Islam, to defame Muslims, to turn against Islam, to turn against Muslims, to take what's rightfully and lawfully yours, like what's happened in the past, and what happened last week, for example. When Trump just comes out of nowhere and recognizes Jerusalem to be the capital city of Israel, It's not his, and it's not even his country's, and it doesn't even belong to anyone. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he says, وَأَنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَوْ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. It is the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jalla will inherit it to whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. But it's a challenge to take something that's rightfully yours, take it away from you, give it to someone else, justify it later on. You know, that's how it is. And justify it. And obviously not justify it one way or another. But to us as Muslims, we need to accept the fact of two things. Number one, it is a challenge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree. Not Trump's decree, not United States' decree, not Europe's decree, not even the Muslim world's decree. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree. It is a challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to put us through. Number two, what are we doing towards that challenge? What's my response? What's my reaction? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Am I going to stay silent? Am I going to stay quiet? Is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from me? Or it's my responsibility for me to speak up? It's my responsibility for me to say what I believe in. Because what happens, my brothers in Islam, we've got this character in us, we've got this quality in us, that when we are confronted with a challenge, we collapse. That's it. I don't want to deal with this challenge anymore. Let it be. Who said let it be? Why let it be? Don't be passive. Don't be complacent. Stand up for what you believe in. Jerusalem is a Muslim state. It's not an Israeli state. It's a Palestinian state. But at the end of the day, forget about the word Palestine. It's a Muslim state before anything else. Before the existence of Palestine. Jerusalem belongs to the Muslims. It doesn't belong to anyone else. And there's no justification to justify that it belongs to anyone else. It belongs to the Muslims. It doesn't belong to the Palestinians. It doesn't belong to the Arabs. It belongs to the Muslims first and foremost. But you have a race that's called Arab Palestinians that live there, who are the custodians of that place, supported by the rest of the Muslim world. We shouldn't be complacent and passive about it and just accept that because that's what America wants and that's what Trump wants. No. We need to resist that. We need to speak out. We need to say what we believe in. We need to advocate for our cause. We need to lobby. We need to speak. We need to engage. We need to do what we need to do. What's right and what's lawful. Because it's my responsibility at the end of the day. We've got this thing in this ummah. We've got this disease sometimes that the very first moment we are struck with a calamity. We are struck with a test. We are hit with a predicament, with a trial, with a test. What happens to us? We just become so passive and complacent about it. Oh, the Muslim world is divided. Look how many boundaries there are around the world. Look at the Muslim countries. Look at the Muslim leaders. Look at this and look at that. Straight away we start pointing the blame and we start putting the blame on someone else. We shouldn't be complacent about this. We shouldn't just be passive people, just accept the fact that what's going to happen to us. No, we need to resist. And our resistance is going to be, inshallah, in a lawful manner, in a respectful, civil manner. That's our resistance. And for us as Australian Muslims living in this country, we need to speak out. We need to advocate our cause. We need to promote and speak about what we believe in. Not just to keep quiet about ourselves, you know what, Muslim leaders resolve. It's the Muslim leaders that sold it from the very beginning. The biggest problem is from the Muslim leaders. And the Muslim leaders are there because of the Sha'ab, because of the people that accepted them to be there. Where's the reaction happened now? We had some positive reaction from Muslim leaders around the world. And we commend them for that. For the first time, subhanAllah, for a very long time, you see that the Muslim world and the Muslim leaders get together for the sake of speaking about a case or an issue that's been dead and dusted a long time ago in their eyes and their point of view. The Palestinian cause hasn't been even brought up within the Muslim leaders for a very long time. Alhamdulillah, this one came up. Alhamdulillah, now there's a bit of action. There's a bit of reaction here. There's a bit of movement here. But the point is, my brother in Islam, we have that responsibility, we have that sense of responsibility that not every time we are struck with a calamity, we just sit back and lose hope and become despondent. No. These are the times that we cling on, having the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the decree of Allah azza wa jalla. These are the times that we need to be motivated. These are the times that we become more inspired. These are the times that we thrive on. We thrive on these times. Don't always turn it into a negative perception, but turn it into a positive perception. Alhamdulillah, something came out of this now. Let's unite and stand up. Be strong about it. But don't sit back and say, oh, we're outnumbered. Oh, we don't even have the power. We are powerless. Oh, look at the Muslim leaders. Oh, look at this. Look at that. No! Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. But remember, the darkest moment of the night is the night before the break of dawn. The more calamities, hardships, trials and tests that we encounter, the closer the opening of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So my brother in Islam, these are the times that you hang on, having that hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never ever be despondent and despair. وَلَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not be despaired from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't break your hopes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be despondent. Don't be despaired. On the contrary, be strong, be firm, and know that at the end of the day, this world and the affairs of this world are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal will. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make any changes that He wants. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at our reaction. He's looking at our reaction to see what reaction do we have. What's our response? Where's our stance? Where's our position? Subhanallah, it's so disappointing to see sometimes whenever we are encountered or whenever we are faced or experiencing a predicament globally, you find Muslims just, they become so complacent about it, that's CR again. No! Inshallah, these are the times that you need to be more inspired to move forward, more motivated to move forward, not to lose hope. Because at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see that reaction. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فيا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله وغفر الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر أشكره وهو الذي وعد المزيد لمن شكر وأصلي وأسلم وأبارك على النبي المعتمد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. My brother in Islam, practical actions that we can do about what's happening around the world. What's happening around the world. And at the end, I reiterate that Palestine, Jerusalem, doesn't belong to Trump. It doesn't belong to Israel. It's not up to them. It's not up to them if they want to give it to Israel, they want to give it to anyone else. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the land of Allah azza wa jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to whoever he wants. And that's why what Trump had mentioned, or Netanyahu had mentioned, or anyone that supports them, it's meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. That will talk from now to the day of judgment. Who cares? But what's meaningful is our unity as a Muslim ummah. What's meaningful is our aqeedah and our creed and what we believe in as a Muslim ummah. What's meaningful is our reaction, our resistance towards that. To say no, we're not going to accept that. To say out loud and proud, we're not going to accept that. Even if the United States wants it to be, even if Trump wants it to be, even if whoever wants it to be, we're not going to accept that. It's a Muslim land that belongs to the Muslim people. And it's been there for many, many years. And at the same time, my brothers in Islam, we need to advocate for our cause. Especially us living in a Western country. Speak to your friends. Speak to your mates. To your workmates. To your schoolmates. To your university mates. Speak to them. Advocate your cause. Let people know exactly what you believe in. Look before what you believe in. Let other people understand. Speak to the MPs, to the politicians, whether you have faith in them or not. Speak to them. But don't just sit on the side and they just watch for everyone else to do something. Lobby. Push for what you believe in. Advocate for what you believe in. Advocate the cause that you adhere to. And make dua for them. Make dua for your brothers and sisters. And at the end of the day, if there's one weapon that no one can take away from us, if there's one powerful weapon that no one can take away from us, it's the weapon of dua. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Raise your hands to Allah azza wa jalla always and constantly, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give victory to your brothers and sisters. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support them. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prevail the truth out of falsehood. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen us. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to unite us. These are the moments that we should be supplicating to Allah Azza wa Jalla, raising your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and resorting to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And no one else. But don't sit on the side. Don't be a bystander. Don't be someone who just complacent and just accepted the fact that that's what America wants. No! We need to resist that. With all the means that we've got to resist, in a lawful, respectful mean, civil mean. So, don't just be quiet about it, my brothers in Islam. Speak up. Speak out what you believe in. And invite others for them to understand our cause. And subhanAllah, any level and fair-minded person that looks into the Palestinian case will understand that these people are being oppressed and it's an occupied territory. It's an occupied land, whether you like it or not. And they use this thing, oh Allah, because the Jews were oppressed in the Europe. Actually, they were oppressed in Europe. We're not happy about that. I'm not happy what Hitler did to them. I'm not happy, and I'm sure a lot of people are not happy what happened to them in Europe. But it doesn't mean just because that's what happened to you, you go and take other people's land. Oh, because Britain 100 years ago decided to give us that land. It's not even, doesn't belong to Britain for them to give it to anyone else. Why doesn't Britain go and give them the land? If Britain really cares about the establishment of Israel, you go and give them something in England, for example. You go and take other people's land and give it to them. Yes, we're against the fact that we're oppressed, or anyone to be oppressed, but it doesn't mean because you're oppressed, you go and oppress someone else. Because something's been taken away from you, you go and exercise the same thing with someone else. That's unlawful, whether it's a Muslim or non-Muslim. It's something that we find it to be unwarranted, unjustified. And subhanAllah, Muslims and Christians and Jews have been living in Palestine and many Muslim countries around the world for centuries. They coexisted. They had no issues. No issues. You want to live in Palestine? No one stopped me from living in Palestine. But you don't come and take out and occupy other people's lands. You don't come and occupy other people's territories. That's unacceptable, whether it's a Muslim or a Muslim. And that's why my brother in Islam, Palestine is a Muslim land. And Jerusalem al-Quds is an Islamic state, a holy city for the Muslims. That's something that no one can take away from us. No one can even dare to take anything away from us. It's something that we believe, it's part of our aqidah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-Quds and Jerusalem in the Quran again more than in other place for the reason of for us to be connected to that sacred land. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying 1,500 years ago, just watch out. You know, when someone tells you and warns you about, look, just watch out from something. But you know, this thing didn't even happen. It's like, you know, watch out from something. But you know, this thing didn't happen. If someone continues to repeat or something, or someone just continues to put something in your mind, it's like he or she are trying to allude to something that's going to happen in the future. And subhanAllah, when Allah Azza wa Jalla repeats the mentioning of Palestine in the Quran al-Karim and Bayt al-Maqdis in the Quran al-Karim, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alluding to 1,500 years ago, that this place, something could happen there one day, so make sure you protect it. Make sure you take care of it. So it's part of our aqidah. So you could take it from us, or declare it to be whatever you want, but you can't take it out of our hearts. That's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has embedded in us. And that's something that we'll continue to preserve in our hearts and minds, and preserve in the hearts and minds of our children. That's another responsibility. Even though we're far apart from Palestine, or far apart from Jerusalem, but that's still part of us. It's still part of our belief, part of our creed, part of our aqidah, part of our principle. And that's why we'll continue to remind our children, even though they'll be the 10th Muslim generation born and raised in a Western country, they'll continue to be connected to that place. So my brothers in Islam, these are opportunities, inshallah. Yes, there are challenges, but there are opportunities for us, inshallah, to advocate for what we believe in and create this awareness over this cause that's being treated unjustly and unfairly. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who stand up for what they believe in and advocate for the cause that they believe in. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.
We are one, no mama, who should stand with each other through all the highs and lows.